Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work, with over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Plug those headphones in. It's time for Ireland's only interactive podcast, the multi-award-winning Opinions Matter with Adrian and Jeremy.
And you're very welcome to this latest Opinions Matter podcast with Adrian and Jeremy, recorded at our studio in the White Sands Hotel in Portmarnock in North County Dublin. Now, we want to give a shout out to two of our current show sponsors. And we're very grateful, by the way, to all of our show sponsors for joining in, supporting Opinions Matter. And by the way, if you run a business and you'd like to advertise on this podcast, you can send us an email to allopinionsmattershow@gmail.com. Now, who do we want to give a shout out to?
Now, if you are in the market for a new job or new career change, as many of you probably are, our friends at recruit.ie have recently launched their brand new app. Now, this app is amazing. I have it on my phone, and this makes it easier than ever before to find your dream job. You can browse hundreds of jobs from Ireland's leading employers and apply for a job in one tap. The days of going from door to door with a big bag of CVs in your pocket are long since gone, thanks to the guys at recruit.ie, because you can literally browse and apply for a job by using their app. Search for the recruit.ie app in your app store now. You'll also get access to amazing virtual recruitment fairs, free career advice, and much, much more besides. I cannot recommend this more. Download the new recruit.ie app today and find your new dream job, which is, it's waiting for you. It's literally there.
It's sitting there waiting for you.
Yeah.
And the other show sponsor that we want to give a shout out to is Safe, which is a new book which tells the true story of Priscilla and Amy Granger's escape from domestic violence and their subsequent work to prevent others from suffering. Now, reviews from readers of the book to date have called it sensational, compelling, and filled with heart. If you'd like to get your hands on a copy of the book, it's only available from this website, safe-thebook.ie. Safe-thebook.ie. Go onto that website and you can order a paperback or ebook format of the book for just $14.99. It is an amazing read, it really is, and an inspiring story. So if you'd like to get your hands on a copy of the book, visit the website safe-thebook.ie. So what do we want to talk about on this latest Opinions Matter podcast? A guy called Damien has been in contact with us. I want to read exactly what he said to us. Lads, last year I took a job in the city centre as a hairstylist. I'd been in the city centre, hadn't been in the city centre in years, and I can't get over what Dublin city centre is like now. It's ruined by junkies. I seen them in the morning buying drugs and injecting. When I'm going home, I see them terrorising and hassling tourists. They've made it a no-go area. I hate working in the city. O'Connell Street is like a zombie movie, and it definitely puts people off going into the city to shop. My own mother won't go near the Kip. Can they not be rounded up or moved on when they're hanging around causing hassle? I'm sick of them junkies, sick of them. They are just a nuisance, says Damo. Now, I'm only reading what Damo wrote. I wouldn't normally, of late, use the word junkie. I kind of knocked it on the head when I got into a bit of trouble last year over it.
Adrian's,
if you remember.
Are you letting them bully you into not using the word?
No,
You're not woke, are you?
No, I'm not, no. Anyway,
I don't think the issue here, every time we discuss something about drug addicts, I don't want this to become a bigger issue about whether or not the word junkie is acceptable or not. If someone wants to use the word junkie, they can use the word junkie, okay? That's not what the issue is here, whether or not the word junkie, it's a bad word, they don't like it being used. So what? People can use whatever words they want. You have to agree with them. I don't think you're going to find one caller today who disagrees with what he's saying. Have you been in the city centre recently?
I have, yeah.
I brought the kids in about 2 weeks ago when they were on the school holidays. I brought them into town for the day. There was a particular shop they wanted to go to that was right in the city centre. Now, generally, I would not darken the door of O'Connell Street. I think O'Connell Street is a dirty, addict-ridden kip. I think O'Connell Street is, Parnell Street, which is perpendicular to it. The other street, which I ended up going down because I had to get a park, the one behind O'Connell Street. Behind O'Connell Street.
Oh, where the Lewis track runs along.
No. Is there a Lewis track there? Is it Marlborough Street?
Marlborough Street. The Lewis runs along there, yeah.
Oh, my God. It was like a scene from Michael Jackson's Thriller.
Relax there. Stop exaggerating. Okay, well, I was only on Marlborough Street 2 weeks ago.
Okay, there wasn't a fellow with a red leather jacket going around going, hee-hee. But you get the point I was trying to make. It's full of addicts. And I would imagine that is a turn. Let me give you an example. All of you an example. There's no other capital city that I know of in the world where you would go and see that many junkies in the city centre. Certainly, been to New York many times. You won't see a junkie around Times Square. You literally won't. I've never, ever seen one in all the years I'm going there. You go to Madrid, again, you won't see them. Yet, in Dublin, it's just a wash with junkies. And it's going to put off tourists. In fact, did you read out a couple of the messages that came in already?
No, I'm about to.
Yeah, you do.
Okay, so Adrienne said on our Facebook, she said, I overheard two American men talking when I was in town. They said they thought Dublin was a great place and wouldn't come back. When they were talking, a junkie was begging them for money and the man said, sorry, we don't carry cash. I was mortified, says Adrienne. I don't understand that bit. They said they thought Dublin was a great place, but they wouldn't come back.
Yeah, because of the amount of addicts. I think that's the point that he's trying to make.
Okay, and then another one says, I used to always go into town, but in the last few years, it's like a scene from The Walking Dead. Now, I mean, ever the exaggerator. Even Grafton Street is full of them. The city even stinks of weed smoke. The tune Dirty Old Town comes to mind for a capital city. It's an embarrassment, says Lisa.
Did you not say a year ago that down by the Liffey and the canal was junky? What was the word you
had? No, I said O'Connell Street was junky central.
Junky central. That's
what I said.
Yeah.
And that's what I got into trouble over.
Well, you didn't get into trouble over it.
I did. They weren't happy. The lads weren't happy. And as I said, they're just two of the comments that have come in on our Facebook. So the question we're asking you is, do you agree that the city centre in Dublin has been ruined by drug addicts? That's the question that we're asking you. Our number is 085-825-2626. You can send us a WhatsApp or a WhatsApp voice note to that number. Constance, you're on Opinions Matter. How are you, Constance?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Good, thank you. So, Damien believes that drug addicts have destroyed Dublin city centre, that it is not a nice place to visit, it's a dangerous place, and it's all because of drug addicts. What do you think of that?
100%. I agree. 100%. The amount of time my husband works in the city centre now, he used to work in the Spa on Dave Street, and I used to drop him into work, and every single day I drove down Dave Street, I saw dodgy looking characters, and it was quite obvious they were doing drug deals in broad daylight, and not one guard to be seen inside. And I've seen it nearly on a daily basis, dropping my husband into work.
And are they causing a nuisance or are they just there?
Well, like I wrote in a comment on your thread, one morning I dropped my husband in and he was only out of the car half a second. And this junkie was trying to get money off him. And he said no. And lucky, I was quick enough to lock the doors. But then she saw my bag on the floor in the car. And she tried to open my car door. And then she tried to open the passenger door. And I just sped off. I couldn't wait to get out of the city centre. Like, I rarely even go shopping in the city centre.
That's what I was
anymore.
About to ask. Other than dropping your husband into work, do you ever go into the city?
On the rare occasion.
But it would be the exception rather than the rule.
Yeah, probably only, I'd say I was in the city centre to get a few bits over the Christmas. But other than that, I go to Liffey Valley, I go to Blanchardstown.
And do you feel safer?
I feel safer in the shopping centres, yeah, 100%.
Yeah, that's what I'm asking. And is it just drug addicts, or is it just antisocial behaviour in general, or is it the drug addicts that are destroying the city centre?
I wouldn't say it's all down to drug addicts. It's the antisocial behaviour as well. Sure, look at that woman that was just leaving work and the teenager killed her. Like, it's just not safe. And I'm 32 now. When I was a teenager, I used to go out in town all the time. But my friends don't really go out in Dublin anymore, just because the level of crime, it's dangerous. Just avoid it at all costs when I can.
Which is a really sad state of affairs that you're saying, that you avoid our capital city, which should be the city that we're most proud of. You avoid it at all costs.
Yeah, 100%.
All right, we'll stay there for 1 second if you can, please, Constance.
Yeah.
Steve, you're on Opinions Matter. How are you, Steve?
Well, lads, how are you?
Good, thank you, Steve. You're angry listening to Constance. Why?
Basically, I remember coming onto the show about a year ago, maybe less, and I had said to you guys that I had started to drink alcohol, where I had never done that before.
Mm-hmm.
And I found myself in several positions, several times, actually, during, you know, drinking alcohol, where I've drank myself into a state. I felt depressed and lonely and all the usual that comes along with drinking alcohol. And that gave me kind of a perspective on looking at junkies in town. Now, I don't find the word junkie offensive, so I'm going to use it for this conversation. But when I see a homeless person or a junkie person sitting on the ground, cold, miserable, raining, you know, whereas before I thought they were human garbage, that's exactly what I thought they were. And then after I seen that there is a human side to everybody, to every single person who sits on that ground is a person. Behind them is a real human being with real struggles and real problems. But all we get presented with is the fascia, the front of these people, which just looks in bits and looks like we can't trust them. But we don't know what's going on inside. And we quickly step over these people and walk past them. So now I have got huge sympathies for these people, and I feel that it is completely unnecessary for these people to be out on the streets, because if we look at the recent that's happened, like COVID, you know, everybody was able to chip in and help out and put procedures in place, or what happened in the Ukraine. You know, it just seems that if it's not getting global recognition, that the problem is ignored completely. And I think it's about time that people actually done something about the junkies literally living on our streets, people, homeless people with real feelings and real families who could contribute to society if we just put a little bit of effort in.
Okay, so...
I want to ask you a question, Steve, because you're coming down hard on Constance there. How many drug addicts have you taken into your house to look after?
Absolutely none, because
there
I don't
go.
Have
there
the room. But I,
ah, there
none, but
so,
if I... No, hold on a second, hold on.
I don't have the room. No, well, hang
Jeremy,
on.
Jeremy,
no, but hang
me.
On. You've been spouting off there for the last 5 minutes saying we need to do this, we need to do that, yep. And then I ask you, what are you doing? You say absolutely nothing.
Okay, so... First of all, I have a one-year-old child in the house. And to say that I would just allow a random stranger, a drug addict, to stay in the house, of course that would be a very stupid thing to do. I'm not asking people to open up their doors. That's not what I'm asking people to do. I'm trying to change people's minds to realise...
Okay, so you want
to realise
so you,
human.
You've had an epiphany, basically. Used to look at drug addicts as human waste. Now you are looking at them with more of a heart, basically. Is that what you're saying? And we should all do the same thing.
I'm seeing them for what they really are, with these human beings. They're just hidden amongst all that... Sad.
Okay,
all.
So when you hear Damien, who's the guy who contacted us in the first place, saying that drug addicts are literally destroying the centre of our capital city, does he not have a point?
Yeah, absolutely he does. Of course he has a point. And that should be one of the points of contention where we say, okay, here's the thing, we have all of these people who are walking around mindless, causing crime, but still, they are people. They need help. But we get them off the street and we get them into some sort of rehab.
Hang on. Let me stop you there. If we get them help. I'm just seeing figures here in front of me that in the last 5 years, 5 years, 1 billion, not million, billion euro has been spent on the drugs crisis and treating drug addicts? Because I assume you realise the amount of people that are on methadone. Methadone doesn't come free. It doesn't just fall off the trees or anything like that. Methadone is very expensive.
Okay.
Treatment centres are very expensive. So $1 billion has been spent in the last 5 years, and that's not enough. No, we need throw another two.
Hold on a second. Again, I am not familiar with the workings of the government on how it actually deals.
But I'm telling you, €1 billion has been spent in the last 5 years.
Right, excellent. You've said that, but it's obviously not being spent in the right place. Clearly, it's not being spent in the right place because you know as well as I do. Both of you lads know that. If you were a heroin addict, you know, maybe 30, 40 years ago when we didn't really know what heroin was, you know, then you couldn't really blame those people. But nowadays, people who are taking heroin clearly know the really bad effects that it has. And you have to ask yourself the question, why in God's name would you take something which you know you're going to become a junkie? Your life has to be pretty shitty to want to exchange that for that.
Okay, and I agree with a lot of what you're saying, that, you know, things have to be fairly bad for, you know, somebody to go down the road of taking a drug like heroin or whatever the case may be. However, you're kind of skirting away from the issue of the conversation, and that is that drug addicts have destroyed and continue to destroy our city centre. It is far worse now than it was back in the 80s when the heroin epidemic was vicious in Dublin. I saw two drug addicts a couple of weeks ago beating the living shit out of each other on one of the bridges in the city centre, Capel Street Bridge, and one of them swinging a bloody chain at the other fella, blocking traffic in the middle of the street, and they were both out of their heads. Now, I don't want to have to see that.
I've seen sober people do that.
The point I'm trying to make is that a lot of the antisocial behaviour that we witness in Dublin City Centre is drug addicts. Yeah. Now, what is your solution to clean that up?
There we go. Yes, exactly. Okay, so my solution, I would rather know Jeremy's solution for this, because I can guarantee it, both of our solutions are the exact same thing.
So, okay, so Jeremy, what's your solution to deal with this?
What's my solution? Why, I'm not a drug czar.
Yeah.
I don't claim to have a solution. All I'm saying is something has to be done because...
What would you do, Jeremy? Come on, you're put in charge. It's a hypothetical conversation. There's no responsibility at the end of it.
I would start arresting drug addicts for vagrancy when you see them hanging around the city centre and they're being a nuisance. And you see it all the time. You see, you can't walk up Henry Street without seeing it. And it is, put it this way,
your solution... So your solution to the behaviour of drug addicts is to go around and round them all up, arrest them.
You ask for a solution, and when I give you one, you're shooting it down.
No. I'm okay. I'm with you so far. Thumbs up. So arresting with a view to...
Sorry, you there, Steve?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Oh, yeah, sorry. Go on, say that again.
Yeah, so arrest them with a view to doing what?
First of all, my kid, and I've told the story before, a couple of months ago my kid witnessed somebody injecting into their groin up by the, heading up towards Capel Street on the far side of the Liffey. Now, that person should be behind bars for doing something like that. Because I can tell you, if I pulled down my trousers down to my ankles tomorrow in the city centre, I'd be arrested straight away. So taking drugs in a...
Excellent. So incarceration is what you're saying.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
So what's your solution?
Okay, mine would be incarceration with mandatory, you know, drug rehabilitation. And why not? That is a perfect thing to do.
But, you say mandatory. You can't force somebody to get off drugs.
You can when they're in prison.
What do you do?
Make sure there's no drugs in there. There's no drugs allowed in prison, first of all.
I know, but there's lots of drugs in prison.
Absolutely. But we have to crack down on that. We have to change things. But so the best scenario in this would be arrest the people, put them into a prison that's a clean prison where there's no drugs available, and put them on the right tracks because they're going to get out anyway. And you want to make sure that they get out they're clean and they have job prospects and all that stuff. If not, they'll just go back and do that same crap again.
As I said, you can't force somebody off drugs. You need to want to get off drugs. No, you need to want to get off drugs.
You can. Okay, first of all, there's a lot of people who do go into prison And because drugs in certain prisons are not widely available, they do end up coming off of drugs. That happens all the time.
Okay, well, Constance, there's the solution. Round them up, chuck them all into a prison and get them off drugs.
All of them will want to get off drugs.
That's what I just said.
That's a fact. So now I'm not going to turn around and say all drug addicts won't get off drugs or they can't. Some of them will turn their lives around. You see it all the time. People that have been on drugs and they manage to turn their life around. They end up working. They have their own place to live and they get their life together. But there's other drug addicts that will just, they'll go to prison. Then as soon as they're out, they'll go back on drugs. And the vicious circle starts all over again.
Okay. So here's the thing. What you're saying is you can't force people to come off of drugs. What I'm saying is if you lock a person up and make sure that there are no drugs available, that is forcing a person to come off of drugs. Whether it's a 6-month or a year sentence, whatever it is, the crime that they commit, you know, or if it's just a case that they're on drugs, mandatory, you must go behind bars until you're clean. And that's the way the justice system should work. We shouldn't be allowing drug addicts on the streets of Dublin. It's dangerous for them. It's dangerous for us. It's just a bad situation.
So your solution...
In Dublin city centre, there needs to be more guards around.
I agree. Yeah, I totally agree. There's not enough guards around.
The guards are always around when you don't need them. They're never there when there's drug deals going on in Dublin city. Never.
Okay, Steve, I'm interested in how your argument has kind of changed a little bit, because initially you were saying, God love them, have a heart, and now you're saying round them up, throw them into a cell and force them off drugs.
Hold on a second, Aidan. Don't put words into my mouth and make it sound like I said something as awful as the way you just stated it. What I'm basically saying is that they need to be incarcerated. I never said that would be a prison situation. I said incarceration.
Okay.
Whether that's some sort of facility that's a dry house where there's no alcohol available whatsoever, something would have to be created for that, because going into general population into prison is clearly not going to work for, clearly not. But if you're an addict, there must be some sort of medical facility that you can be incarcerated in, for God's sake, for 6 months, a year, whatever it takes to get this person off of the drugs.
Okay.
I'm not being a parent whatsoever.
Okay, stay there for 1 second if you can, please. I want to bring in this WhatsApp voice note from John.
How are you doing, lads? Good topic today. Yeah, I was just listening there. People who are making public nuisances on the streets should be sentenced or ordered into rehab. I know it sounds draconian, but I mean, I'm 35 now, and it's been since my whole lifetime there's been a problem with drugs in Dublin. And I think it's just time that people, we're actually watching these people kill themselves on the side of the streets when they get to that level. I'm not saying that everybody that's taken a joint or has tried a line of coke should be thrown into a rehab, absolutely not. These people that everybody knows that can't stand anymore on the streets, that are literally before the death's door, I think these people should actually be helped and put into rehab. And if anybody wants to come with a financial argument, like, we're paying for them anyway in our health system, so I mean, I just don't see why it would solve so much problems, you know. It starts with mental illness, and everybody knows that, and it is sad to see, and I'm not against these people per se. It's just sad that everybody else has to feel uncomfortable and when they're going shopping or out into the city, and it's actually just terrible to watch people trying to kill them, like literally killing themselves. So I just think it's time that people were put into rehab or something, you know, maybe for a couple of months, and a judge can decide the gravity of, or how long somebody would be put into rehab. One, you'd be helping the person, and I just think it's the right way to go.
It's Ireland's most talked about podcast. The only podcast with live callers and live debates. It's Opinions Matter with Adrian and Jeremy.
Celia, you're on Opinions Matter. Hi, Celia.
Hello there. How are you?
Good, thanks, Celia. Well, what's your view on this? Have drug addicts destroyed Dublin city centre?
Well, I don't think the idea of putting them into jail is going to do any good.
No, I don't myself.
No, you know, know, I think there's more drugs in jail than there is outside.
Now, one of the things that Steve was arguing is he's not necessarily talking about jail, but a facility where drug addicts get rounded up off the streets and thrown into this facility until they get clean, basically.
But they can't even organise the place where they can go and use the needles. You know, the safe place to use needles?
Well, the objection, the objection to that primarily is from a primary school around the corner,
They need to go into somewhere where they're going to be away from drugs, and jail definitely isn't going to be the answer.
No, I agree with you. Mind you, that's not what Steve was arguing. He was saying that we need to put... Steve, are you talking about forcing people into treatment, basically?
Absolutely, 100%.
I wonder, would they want to go?
Yeah, but it doesn't matter whether they do or they don't.
If they were going private, it's very expensive.
Of course, it's going to be very expensive. But, I mean, life is expensive. You know, we can't just turn away a person because they're a drug addict. You know, the life is still worth something, clearly.
Okay, you know, so you believe that we were able to throw money at COVID, we should be able to throw money at this as well?
Yeah, we could clean this problem up very easy, because it's not like there's hundreds of thousands of people that have to be treated here. You know, it's not a huge, huge number. And we could squash that number very quickly. We could cut it in half if we just implemented something as far as what I'm saying. But, you know, I have a question. Jeremy, do you disagree with the form of incarceration that I'm talking about, or would you be okay with that?
I think I'd be okay with that.
Isn't it amazing?
Yeah.
That the two of us, you're doing it for one reason, because you hate the fuckers, where I'm doing it because I have compassion, but we both still agree that we want the same thing for them.
I never said I hate the fuckers, so don't be putting words in my mouth. I never said I hate junkies. I think they've tried.
Yeah, you did. You said it before.
I've said it before. Oh, yeah. Find me the recording. Uh-huh. Where is it?
Okay, let me ask on a practical level. You're talking about the solution to this is to round up drug addicts and force treatment on them, yeah?
Yeah.
My argument is... My argument is you cannot force somebody to give up something that they're addicted to. They may want
but
to get off...
But we're already doing that.
How are we already doing that?
Because we're incarcerating people who are on drugs in a clean environment. There are some prisons where drugs are very difficult to get in. So therefore, we're forcing them to go clean.
Okay, stay there for one second if you can, please. Our number is 085-825-2626 if you want to send us a WhatsApp voice note. I've been asked, Steve, to play this voice note for you.
Steve, back on there, giving a loads about everybody. Like, you want to get these addicts brought into centres and all? Arrested and brought into centres, and the country can't even cope with what the fuck it has.
All right, I don't really know what his beef is there. Can you make head nor tail of that beef?
He's clearly implying that we don't have the money to do this right now because there's bigger things. I think that's what he's saying. But either way, look, we have a ton of problems to solve. You know, this just may be another one that we can solve and nip it in the bud now and save ourselves trouble, you know, 20 years down the line.
Okay, stay there for a moment. Let me bring in Owen's opinion.
Oh, yeah, lads. Massive fan of the show here. Now, on the subject you're saying, I work in a car park in the city centre, and all I deal with on a daily basis is junkies, heroin addicts all coming in, pissing, shitting, leaving fucking tinfoil and everything around the place. It does be a nightmare, to say the least. And even then, we're about 5 minutes away from a Garda station. And this just to talk about your other topic the other day about the buses in Talla, where it's like, we need more Garda stations around the place. And I can tell you now, I could be sitting there after getting threatened by junkies for trying to kick them out of the place, and we have a Garda station about 5 minutes away, and I could be waiting 2.5 hours on them. So that's just the way it is. It's like, you know, no matter how many times you get rid of them, or the guards actually put the effort in and start coming through the car park to kick them out, it'll last for a few weeks, the guards will stop coming around, and the junkies will start moving back in again. and it just doesn't stop.
All right, Owen. Thanks very much indeed for your message. And I want to mention something else. We've been contacted constantly over the last number of weeks by a couple of residents from Oliver Bond Flats in Dublin City Centre. Yeah. They email us regularly. They send us videos regularly of what's become like a shopping centre for drugs in Oliver Bond Flats in the city. Here's the problem, though. None of these residents will talk to us. We have reached out over and over and over again to all of the people who've contacted us, and none of them will speak to us because they're afraid of the drug addicts.
I don't know what we can... We can't do anything for them if they don't talk to us, other than highlight the fact that... But you're saying that there's a drug problem in Oliver Bond Flats is like saying that the sky is blue in the summer.
No, but the videos that we've been sent show queues of people waiting to buy their drugs and all of that. It's become like a shopping centre.
Yeah, it's literally...
But, again, as we said, there is very little we can do to highlight this, other than me saying it now, without residents being prepared to speak out.
Well, wait till you hear what John witnesses on a regular basis.
Well, John, tell me, what do you witness on a regular basis?
Oh, jeez, I couldn't even tell you. I could write a script on it, what I see every day.
Go on, give me an idea then.
Like, I was in, I'll tell you where it was. Do you know the Abbey Theatre there, off Abbey Street?
Yep, it was only mentioned a couple of minutes ago, beside the Lewis stop there.
That's the one, yeah. I was in there on Monday, I was doing a job, and I seen lads, two lads at the back of my van. Now, in the back of my van, there could be 15,000-20,000 worth of gear at any time, like. And I seen them, I said, what are these two boys doing? And they were in the doorway right in front of my van. Obviously, my van was used as a shield. And there they were, as plain as day, both of them with needles. And his mate was there, as you can see in the picture. He was borderline holding him up how he could shoot it into his foot. This is at 12 o'clock in the day.
My God.
Just to say, we're looking at the picture now you sent us, and I'm just looking at it up close. And yeah, in the doorway of this lane. Where is that laneway, by the way?
It's just in off Abbey Street there. It's just in the kind of the back entrance of the Abbey Theatre. So I usually go in the back entrance of these places.
That photograph we are using as the thumbnail for this podcast, because it just gives people an idea of what you witness. And let me ask you then, John, what do you think is the solution to this?
That's the $1 million question, isn't it? What is the solution? Because I'm sure there's people behind the scenes or whatever, Jordan, the government, things like that, have tried everything. But I do speak to people that are like mainly go into the likes of pubs and things like that, and there could be in a couple of shops here and there. And I was chatting, only today, I was in the Laugh Lounge today, and I was chatting to the owner of the Laugh Lounge, and he said, are you parked on the back? And I said, I am, yeah. Please don't park there, he says, because you'll have to come in and out with the gear. I says, yeah, why? He says, I can't keep this door open for more than 10 seconds. He says, if that door's open, they just flock in. It's unbelievable, he says. And they hide. So, especially during the day, they'd hide in the back. And they'd hide somewhere for 2-3 hours. Knowing that once they hear nobody around, they start rummaging the place. And then when it opens, somebody comes in at 5 o'clock. Sure, they're that out of their heads, they just stroll out the front door nearly. He was saying, like, just carnage. But again, what's that last name? Stephen, is it?
Steve, yeah.
He was saying about putting them in prisons and whatever else. Now, I know myself, you know, he asked at the start, he says, have you got one living in your house? And I was there.
And the answer is no.
Yeah, I live in Walkinstown myself, right? And I've seen over the last couple of weeks there, people protesting in schools and friends living in Drimnet and things. I think you touched on it last week or the week before, mate.
You did.
But do you know, I can guarantee you now, if you look at junkies that are looking to get clean, right? And actually genuine junkies that want to get clean. If they knocked on 10 people's houses, I guarantee you now, 10 people will say no to letting them into their house, right? Because you just don't know. Like, are they looking to get clean? Are they looking to just want to stay? But if, like, if they're with this fella here, Stephen, has all the ideas in his head and he's not willing to help, it's just no room in his house, like, someone. There. Don't come on and say, oh, this is what we should do with this. Do something about it. Like, Dylan, go to your local TD, go to your local councillor and speak about it. Don't come on to our show and say, oh, let's do this and let's do that. When realistically, when this conversation is finished, you're going to go about your day and you're not going to give another thought about a junkie in town. It's only because it's on the radio now, he's probably sitting at home listening to it. That's the only reason why he has an opinion on it. Like,
okay, so let me ask you then, John. You heard Damien hasn't been in the city much over the last number of years, got a new job in the city centre, and says since he was last there, it is destroyed by drug addicts. Is that an exaggeration or is it accurate?
No, it is being destroyed, but not just drug addicts. Like, I mean, the amount of antisocial behaviour that's going on in town between young lads, 15 up to 19, 20, that's also terrifying, people going to town. Why would you fucking go into Henry Street around? Not a chance. Especially around Christmas time there, it was like a jungle. Like, bloody it's so packed that the shops are and old Henry Street and Mary Street be packed. Like, you know, God knows what will go on. Like, and it's not just junkies that do it. Like, I understand that there's a lot of junkies in there. There is a lot of them. I see them, as I said, every day of the week. But like, this business of your man wants to lock them all up here. Like, you're not fucking cheap. Pair them all up and do this. They're not playing cheap. Like, you know, there's somebody's child at the end of the day.
By your own admission and with your photograph, the thumbnail of this podcast, they are causing awful issues in the city.
Oh, no, yeah. No, I know that. No, geez, that's what I'm saying. I'm the first person to say they are causing thing. But as your mama said, like, you were speaking to them like they were animals. Like, I heard them up. They're not, like, someone, they are people. And now I understand there's probably 8 out of every 10 of them don't want to get help. Like, you know, I've witnessed my own, a good friend of mine, his sister, when we were growing up, was addicted to heroin. And she tried everything to get off heroin. She had a child, and the child was borderline being taken off her. And she changed her life around now. The lovely house now. I think she's engaged to be married. And she was 10 years on heroin, and she's a grand life now. So there are people out there that want to change, but it's very, very hard for them. They haven't got the support to change. Like, their mothers and fathers have washed their hands of them.
Stay there for one second. It is a very difficult situation. Stay there for one second if you can. Let me go to JP. You're on Opinions Matter. How are you?
How's the farm, Adrian? How are you?
Good, thank you. What did you want to say on this?
Well, basically, pretty much what Stephen, I'm agreeing with Stephen, oddly enough. Like, I was an addict back when I was younger, and I'm 34 now, and I was put into a high support unit, and it was the best fucking thing for me. That's being honest with you. It was castration, proper order, you know. Look, and I know the way town's gone. You know, my sister, you've seen her videos over the years, you know, popping around TikTok and Facebook and whatever. She had her demons. She was an addict, not a junkie. I hate the fucking word junkie. She was an addict. And unfortunately, you know, she lost her life there in December, not by drugs, but by jumping in the fucking Liffey. You know, she was so roped up in drugs. It was unbelievable. And every time she was ringing for the rehabilitation centres, there was long waiting lists. She had to be clean. She had to be this. She had to be that. Her head was so fucked up mentally that she couldn't communicate with what they were asking her for, to get into the centres in the first place. And that's what people are forgetting. Some of these addicts are mentally screwed fucking up. They don't know the left to the right. Do you know what I mean? And it's guidance they need. And that's exactly what I'm agreeing with Steve in the first place, is that maybe he worded it wrong, not round them up or whatever, like, but yeah, definitely, like, some kind of it's a stronger kind of a prison if they wanted it. You know what
so
I mean?
Let me go back to when you were that addict, or even your sister before she passed away, and I'm terribly sorry to hear that. Rounding drug addicts up, if you had been rounded up and brought to this institution and forced to get clean, would that have worked?
Well, it did work. I was pretty much forced. I was forced into a high support unit. I didn't walk into it. I was fucking dragged into it. That's being honest with you. I didn't walk into it. I was in around 16 years of age, and it was the high support unit, or it was a prison, in other words, St. Patrick's Institution. They were my options by a judge, simple as that. So yeah, I was forced.
And do you think this is something that we could do with more addicts?
The problem in the country is the lack of the centres. Now, you ring around to Ashery, you ring around to Kilmer, ring around to the Rutland Centre, I'll guarantee you they'll all say the same thing. Have you been clean in the last 7 days?
Mm-hmm.
The last 14 days? Oh no, you need to be clean for another 2 weeks. Because you ring any of them, they're all the same. So that's the problem, you know? What did Jeremy say there? 1.5 billion?
Yeah, has been spent in the last number of years,
Right, okay. Now, half of that, where's it going? It's going to fucking counsellors, psychiatrists. It's going to a wide range of wages, the upkeep of buildings, ESB. So by the time it actually comes down to the addict for help, it means fuck all. It means nothing. There's not enough centres. This is the problem.
Okay, so there's not enough centres, and you need to be clean before you get into many of the centres. So there is scope then for having some centre that some addicts that are causing awful antisocial behaviour in our city could be dragged to, like you were.
Well, I would, like, look at you can't really, like, I know it's still, like, I get both sides here. You can't fucking force it. You can bring a horse for water, but you can't make it drink it. You know what I mean? I'm getting the two sides of the argument here and the two sides of the coin. But, like, realistically, I know one or two addicts right now as I'm talking to you. And one of them wants to get into recovery. The other one doesn't. Do you know what I mean?
And that was the point that I was making earlier on to Steve, that you cannot, generally speaking, force somebody off drugs, because they'll just lapse back into it again when they get back, if they're not committed to getting off them. Just like for years, Jeremy, I smoked cigarettes. Nobody was able to force me to stop smoking. It's something I had to do myself.
I'm just looking at that photograph, lads, which is on the thumbnail for this podcast that John sent. John is still on the other line. I'm looking at the photograph, John, that you sent from the back of your van up the laneway, showing two addicts, and one is injecting the other into the foot. And am I a bad person for feeling anger as soon as I see it? I don't feel pity. I don't have pity for these two individuals. I feel anger. I feel disgusted.
Is that how you feel, John? Anger?
Yeah, it is. Like, you know, I said a couple of minutes ago, we spent $1.5 billion on drug treatment and that.
Yes.
Was last year, was it? Was it?
Yeah, that's
okay,
right.
Okay,
yep.
So we look at that, right? And we're in the middle of a housing crisis. We're in the middle of every crisis you can come at, like. I mean, but if we decided to say, okay, well, we're going to focus on, we're going to put more centres in, we're going to put more of this in, we're going to put more of this. Like, at the end of the day, we're still going to have junkies on the street. And then if we haven't got the money to build houses, and we're building drug treatment centres, we'll have people out on the street protesting about that because there's no houses for people. So, like, it's just a merry-go-round. Like, if we decide to say, oh, we're going to focus now on drug treatment centres all over Ireland and help these people, and as I said, like, a lot of them do want to be helped. But there's a lot of them out there that don't want to be helped.
Yeah, I agree. And, like, this goes back to the point I was making, that you can't force somebody to take treatment.
Exactly. Like, there's many times, now, as that lad there said, I can't think of his name, said that he was on drugs and he's off them now, whatever. Like, there's one person, but when he was brought into that treatment centre, did he say to himself at 16 years of age, I want to get off these drugs? Or did he think, maybe I'll go in here, I'll do what the judge tells me, actually, I'll be out in a year, I'll be grand then, like, I'll be able to do this, I'll be able to do that. Because we've all done it, like, I do it even at home now with my wife, she's like, do this. If you don't want to do it, you do it to keep the peace. But, you know,
absolutely, yeah.
If you're told you're going to this centre for 6 months and it needs to be clean for 6 months, in the back of your head, you're not going to come out and say, oh, I'm this and I'm that, brilliant, happy days. You're still going to go off, and those friends that you mixed around with are still going to be there.
And again, as I said, that is the point that I'm making, that, you know, this whole thing of round them up, throw them into a building, lock the key, it doesn't work unless a person is committed to it. Stay there for 1 second if you can, please. 085-825-2626 is our number. This is Jess.
Those junkies, not Alex junkies, they have destroyed the city centre. They've done it for fucking years. They literally make the place look like a kit. And you want to clean them up, put them all in jail.
Okay, and Robbie.
I think Steve actually has a decent idea there, but it needs to go further. You need to be offering them training and something to come out of prison, afwards. If they come out of prison exactly just, clean up the drugs, but in the same situation you were in before, they're going to just relapse.
In fact, we have Robbie on the line. We'll talk to him in a sec.
Voted Irish Current Affairs Podcast of the Year. It's Opinions Matter with Adrian and Jeremy.
Now, Robbie, I played your message there a moment ago, and you were saying that while Steve's idea in theory isn't bad, it needs support afterwards.
Yeah, it definitely does. And as that previous caller was saying, he was went to the high support unit, and then he was talking about, like, you know, people just not able to get into these centres without being clean. Could you not make a centre that has an area that does partly what Steve does, give them the month or what, I don't know how long they need to be clean for, gives them that period before then they can move into the centre where they can actually get the help they need, and then a further step along the line where they get some training, education, whatever they need to help them reintegrate to society and actually make a life for themselves. Because there's no point getting them out of drugs if they come out of prison and have, or I know I shouldn't be calling it prison, getting out of a facility and then have nowhere to go afterwards.
Yeah, I agree. It has to have all that support. It has to have all the follow-up.
And as I said, regarding the money, you said $1 billion over the past 5 years?
Yes.
That's obviously a huge amount of money. But if you were to spend, if you were to put, let's say, $1 billion into it now to get something like that up and running, and it was to cost another $1 billion over the next 5 years, how much would that save over the next 20 years?
A lot of money. Absolutely, yeah. So you agree with the idea of putting more money into supporting addicts, getting them off their drugs, which will have the net effect of saving us money in the long run, really?
I think so, yeah. I mean, with alcoholics, you don't put alcoholics into a room and give them pints. Yeah, but give them less pints or a different type of alcohol.
Would I be right in saying, again, I don't know, drugs have never touched my family, but would I be right in saying that it would be very rare, okay, we're talking about just heroin, forget about the other drugs, heroin for the moment, that it'd be very rare for someone to get completely clean of heroin and then lead a fruitful life or they have a job or they get married?
I know, it does happen. Yeah.
Does it happen?
Of course it does, no, absolutely.
He is right, it is very rare. I mean,
that guy John, we've spoken to John before.
Yeah, that's one caller, Adrian, that's what I'm saying.
No one said it's impossible. It's not impossible.
I would imagine it's as rare as hen's teeth now.
No, right. I actually know a guy who's a taxi driver who 20 years ago was absolutely strung out of his head heroin addict.
Really?
And now he's driving a taxi. Because he's got his shit together.
And I have nothing but huge respect for someone who has hit, and essentially that is probably hitting rock bottom, literally as low as you can get, to still have the wherewithal to say, fuck, I don't like this anymore. I want to get out this shit. But then to say to yourself, I want to get out this shit, but then have no support to do that.
Okay, so in other words, we need to...
There's many people jumping into livies.
We need to get serious about dealing with this problem and spend the money wisely and offer the support afterwards. Let me squeeze in Bonnie.
Hey, lads. I completely agree with Steve. They'd have no problem sectioning people under the Mental Health Act, but people who are drug addicts clearly have some sort of mental health issue and they should be put into some sort of unit, not necessarily jail, but to help them. I actually agree with Steve for once.
Okay, and this is Eddie.
Listen, lads, there's been a heroin problem in Dublin for the past 30 years, possibly longer, and we'll still be having the same problem in another 30 years. You can't force people into these places to dry out and to say, we'll do this, we'll do that. It has to be done of their own free will. And if they don't want to do it because they're strung out and they like the buzz of that, then you're fighting a dead battle. It's just not going to work.
Absolutely. And that was the point that I've been making all along, Eddie. You cannot round up drug addicts, hope they're going to stay off the drugs, because when they get back out of wherever it is that you put them, a lot of them will just go back to their old ways.
I just think, looking at the comments on social media, I just think people are at the end of their tether now. I think people are just fed up. They love their city centre. I mean, you look at this, the Clearys. They put the clock back up. You know, the Clearys clock is back. Mm-hmm. And that's gone. Millions and millions are going to be spent on Clearys. They're going to turn into, a hotel and shops, the whole lot. What is the point when people will not go into the city centre? My mother, I'll give you very quickly. My mother, as an example, was someone that for years would always go into the city centre. Now, when I say the city centre, I mean O'Connell Street and Henry Street. She'd go into Clearys and all that. She stopped doing that about 15 years ago purely because the antisocial element that was in the city centre. I know some of you don't want to hear this, but it's the truth. Dublin city centre, and I mean from Trinity College all the way up to the Mater Hospital, I suppose. So from Trinity College to the Mater Hospital is a fucking dive. And it is. And if you don't believe me, get up off your arse now and take a walk.
Okay, but is that all down to drug addicts?
No,
it's not.
That's why I didn't mention
it. And the biggest problem, from my point of view, in Dublin City is the lack of visible policing. And until that is sorted, we're never going to clean up Dublin City.
But there's something that's as rare as hen's teeth.
Yeah, that's the point.
A policeman in the city centre.
All right, that's it from this latest edition of Opinions Matter. We hope you've enjoyed it. If you did, please hit subscribe or follow. If you're listening on Spotify, click the little bell icon, and that way you'll be notified every time we upload a new podcast. Thanks very much indeed for listening, and we will catch you on the next one. Bye-bye. We'll be right back.
Opinions matter. Subscribe to this podcast for free on the Go Loud app.